Welcome to Christ Church International's podcast. We are a faith-filled, spirit-filled gathering of believers living for the dream of Jesus. Souls from every nation, one at a time. We are based out of northern Colorado in a beautiful and vibrant city called Longmont. Come join us as we proclaim Jesus is Lord to our generation. Our key verse for this year is Hebrews 9:11. Jesus has become the high priest of good things to come for you.
Well, I have a few things to share with you today. I want to get into the word here. Father, we just want to thank you for your word. Father, I pray that you'd speak to us, Lord. I thank you for giving me revelation and insight, Lord, and understanding and unction, Lord, to speak, Lord, what you want to say. I pray that you give me discernment not to say what I shouldn't say. And I pray that, Lord, we would never be the same. In Jesus' name. Do we have children's church? All right. Kids, you'd be dismissed. Follow Lori. All right. So I was thinking last night and praying, and I wanted to show a couple things to you. The first thing that I was thinking about, we would go to 1 Corinthians real quick. Oh, yeah, I wanted to say last week was a surprise to me. So Dr. Seville is preaching on surprise, 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 okay? And so I was like, Lord, I want something Sunday. I don't know what I need, but I want something. I want something. I'll receive it. So there was a story he told where he was still serving Kenneth Copeland as his associate minister or just his helper or whatever his title was. And after this service, Kenneth Copeland went to his room, and this man came up, and he's like, I want to talk to Mr. Copeland. And he's like, well, he's, you know, it's time for him to go to bed. You can't talk to him. Anything you want to tell him, you can tell me. So the guy's really rude, really a jerk. And so he actually ended up pushing Dr. Seville on the floor. And so Kenneth Copeland comes out. He's like, what's wrong? You know, and he's like, and then Kenneth Copeland's like, if Jerry Seville told you that, if the sun's out and he said the moon's out, then I would believe it and that's good enough for me. So he's like, whatever Jerry Seville has to say, You do it. And part of that story was he told the guy, you know what, Jerry Seville said, you need to pray in tongues. Go get it in the spirit because Brother Copeland is a man of God. And if you pray in tongues, yeah, he will get it in the spirit. And he'll get to you what you need.
Yeah.
And so I was like, hey, you know what, I'm going to be a doer of the word. So I was praying in tongues, riding the motorcycle. We're going to E470 to I-70. We're going up in the mountains. So really beautiful. So we're going, I was praying in tongues for a while. And just expecting the Lord to give me what I needed. So last Sunday, Dad started talking about me. So I was like, okay, so where is this going? And I was like, this is important. So I pulled out my iPhone and started filming. And then apparently they were going to ordain me. So I was like, oh, I didn't know that. So surprise, surprise, surprise. I had no idea they were going to ordain me last week. So that was really cool. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. So I am ordained.
Yes, you are.
Praise the Lord. So I would really appreciate it if you guys would pray for me. Pray for me as if I am your pastor.
Because
I am. And a man of God said, everything rises and falls on leadership. So if the Lord, and another man said, everyone improves if a leader gets better, when a leader gets better.
Right.
So
that's right.
The more you guys pray for me and believe for me, the higher the Lord will take me, and I really need your help and prayers.
We'll come along.
So I appreciate that. And yeah, we're all in this. Thank you. Love you too. Yeah, we are in this together.
Yeah.
And I believe that we're going to see mighty men and women of God rise out of this church.
Yes, man.
And I believe there's mighty men and women of God that aren't here yet that are going to come.
Yeah.
That's right.
That's exciting.
That's
right. So that's one of the words that the Lord gave us is of the 400, you know. And out of the 400, David's 400 rose the 40 mighty men and women. So I want to be one of those guys.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. So I just encourage you guys to get into the word and become mighty in the word, and then become mighty in your giftings and your skills, where God has called you. Like, become mighty. If it's to be a teacher, if it's to be a businessman, a businesswoman, whatever it is, to be a cook, whatever, you know, chef, whatever it is, you know, serve the Lord with all your heart, you know. Whatever, if it's to raise children, just do it with all your heart and serve the Lord. Be the best what you can do with what the Lord has given you. So let's go to 1 Corinthians 14, verse 2. So it says, and this is about tongues. So if you guys are freaked out by Katie giving a tongue here, we're going to talk about tongues a little bit. It says, "For he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men but to God. For no one understands him, however, in the spirit he speaks mysteries." So when you're speaking in a tongue, you're speaking to God, and you're speaking mysteries. There was a period a couple years ago, and I got out of the habit, but I was just praying in tongues every day, every day, every day, every day. And I really believe that when you pray in tongues, like, it brings out, you know, the creative arts. It brings out power. It brings out your future. It really, it begins to bring out things you need. And it takes time to actually see what was caused by that. But, you know, the word says we're supposed to pray that we would interpret. But when you pray in tongues, you're praying mysteries, you're speaking mysteries. "But he who prophesies speaks edification and exhortation and comfort to men." So we need to prophesy too, because we don't understand what you're saying. We need to hear a prophecy or an interpretation. "He who speaks in a tongue edifies himself, but he who prophesies edifies the church." So I just saw it last night. How could you edify the church if you're not edified yourself?
That's right?
Right? So I was like, you need to edify yourself. That's good. And I love what Paul says here. He says, I wish you all spoke with tongues. Okay, I wish you all spoke with tongues. Where's the other verse? Oh, yeah, and in verse 39, he says, do not forbid to speak with tongues. Okay? So the Bible says it. I didn't write that. This isn't denominational teaching. This is not charismatic teaching. This is not Word of Faith, this is not Pentecostal. This is the Bible. Okay? So don't forbid to speak in tongues. And he said, I wish you would all speak with tongues, but even more that you prophesied. For he who prophesies is greater than he who speaks with tongues, unless indeed he interprets that the church may receive edification. And then he says, but now, brethren, if I come to you speaking with tongues, what shall I profit you unless I speak to you either by revelation, by knowledge, by prophesying, or by teaching? Dad's spoken on this before, that these are like the different ways that we, you know, the Lord teaches the body of Christ, and it's through revelation, through knowledge, through prophecy, and through teaching. And you know what? We have to move into the revelation zone. I heard a man say, and it was really powerful, he said that the law of meditation is designed to solve any problem you ever have. Like, how powerful is that? You know, Joshua 1:9 says, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you should meditate on it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written therein. Then you'll make your way prosperous, then you'll have good success. So we're supposed to be looking at the Bible all the time. Proverbs 4:20-22 says, do not let it depart from you, or don't let it out of your eyes. So you have to get the Bible in your eyes all the time. You know, the example is of food, for instance. You don't think, oh, man, those potatoes were so good 2 weeks ago. Man, those are good potatoes. So good. It's like, I receive nourishment right now from those potatoes I had 2 weeks ago. Oh, they were so, Lord, I bless these potatoes I had 2 weeks ago. They are so good to my body. It's like, they're not nourishing you, right? Because it's done. It's over. It's gone. It's through your body, right? So, say in this kind of a similar way, we have to keep the Word of God in our eyes, because that's how you feed. You know, Jesus said, if the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? So the light, he said, the light of the body is the eye. So what you're letting into your eye is either light or darkness. That's really why we have to guard our hearts. And that is such a struggle. You know, I'm really passionate about the creative arts, the visual arts. I love watching movies. I do. But it's a struggle and a wrestle sometimes, because sometimes it seems you'll go through periods where you're just like, and it doesn't bother you. And then you, all of a sudden the Holy Spirit slaps you and you're just like, this is really bad stuff. Like, why am I watching this? And the Lord wants us to walk in purity. And it's a struggle for Christians, but God has empowered us to do that. So we have to guard our heart above all else. So we really encourage you to guard what you're watching, what you're letting through your eye gate. Because you can actually open yourself up to transference of spirits. Like, that's why I firmly believe Christians should not watch horror movies, like, period. Now, I'm not going to tell you what kind of ratings you should watch. Like, obviously, there's some, you know, the worst ratings there are, probably you shouldn't be watching them. But those sort of things have to guard our heart. Because, you know, the Bible teaches us that our heart is like a garden, and what you put in your garden will grow. And so if you meditate on sin, if you meditate on certain things, that will grow in your heart. So we have to really be careful what we're letting grow in our heart. That's really important. Praise the Lord. So let's talk about tongues a little bit more. So, oh yeah, edify. Let's talk about what does edify mean. So when we're praying in tongues, this is we edify ourselves. The word actually means to build a house. So that's literally, it means to build a house. So when you're praying in tongues, it's like you're building your house. You're building yourself. And you could actually be building your house. Like, actually, because we're believing for houses. We're believing for our house. So when you're praying in tongues, you could actually be building your house. So, but you're building your spirit up. So if you're feeling weak spiritually, you need to pray in tongues. You need to build your house up. You edify yourself. You build your body. Okay, so let's go to 2 Timothy. Okay, 2 Timothy 1, 6 says, therefore I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and a sound mind. And then it says, therefore do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but share with me in the sufferings for the gospel according to the power of God. Are there any of you who are struggling with, like, evangelism? I encourage you to get this verse in your heart, verse 7. You say, I do not have a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. And then the next part, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. Praise the Lord. So God has not given us the spirit of fear. Praise the Lord. So he said, stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. So what does the word stir up mean? It means to kindle afresh or to keep in full flame. So we have to keep in full flame. Like Paul was writing to Timothy, and basically the idea that he was conveying is that the gift that you have will diminish if you don't keep it in full flame and kindle it and stir it up. So it's not like, he's like, it's going to happen. Like, it's going to happen. So you have to stir it up, and you're responsible for doing that. So I think as Christians, we sometimes expect God to do everything, and only if we're motivated by him will we do it. And there's a back and forth constantly, because as a believer, we want to serve the Lord with all our hearts. But I'm starting to feel that we are responsible for a lot more than we think we are. So we have to keep in full flame the Spirit of God, the gift of God, and that is the speaking in other tongues that's in us. Praise the Lord. And you know, I don't have time to go into it, but there's a difference between the gift of tongues and the prayer language that the Holy Spirit gives us. I believe every Christian has access to receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and everyone can edify themselves individually as we pray in tongues. Now, a gift of tongues is in a corporate setting where we're gathered together, and a gift of tongues must be interpreted. Otherwise, sorry, you can't do it here if nobody's going to interpret. Somebody interpreted today, so that was a gift of tongues to edify, a gift of tongue to edify the body. Praise the Lord. All right, so we have to keep in full flame. So let's just pray for just a minute. Kisha bada makasi se se brada bata bade kashi se se brade basi se brade ki brala mata brale kasi se se brade bata malane ki brala makasi se 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 brade bata lade makashi se se brale makasi se ki se se brade makasi se 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 brade bata lade se se brale makasi se pi brale makasi se 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 brale bata lade kashi se ki brale mata lade kashi se 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 brade kasi se ki se se brale makasi se 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 brale bata lade kashi se te brale mata lade kasi se te. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, I just thank you for waking us up, Lord. Wake us up, Lord. Lord, I pray that you'd lift the cloud from our thinking and our living, Lord, that we would find ourselves awake to you and more sensitive to you, Lord, and more stirred up than ever before. Holy Spirit, I pray that we wouldn't go long at all, if ever, Lord, without continuously stirring ourselves up. In Jesus' name, thank you, Lord. So when we pray in tongues, we build the house of our life. We build our inner man. Praise the Lord. So I was praying last night, and I got this verse that was in my heart, and I had to find it. Let's go to Romans. And I'm sure most of you know this verse. It says in Romans 10:10, it says, "For with the heart one believes into righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made salvation." So I want to back up just a little bit here. It says, verse 6, "But the righteousness of faith speaks." Okay, so that's the kind of faith that we want, is the faith that speaks. That's what I love Brother Jerry said last week. He said, go out of this place talking about it, speaking it. So I did. This year is going to be the year of the greater for me. It's the year of the greater, and I'm going to see the glory of God this year, and I'm expecting the unexpected, and I'm expecting surprises of God's goodness and his favor. Praise the Lord. We're going to see God's glory this year. So then he says in verse 8, "But what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach." So this is the word of faith that we preach. And it has to be in two places. The word of faith has to be in your heart. It has to be in your mouth. And the Lord he's been dealing with me this a lot lately, is about what I'm saying. And we're in a faith church here. We're in a charismatic church, so we should technically know about the law of confession and the law of faith. But you gotta, if it's vision leaks, so you have to continue. That's why we have to keep the Bible in our eyes, because you forget, and then you start saying what the tree is saying. Jesus came up to the tree, and the tree was saying, "I don't have any fruit." And Jesus said, "Well, nobody's gonna eat from you anymore." So what we start doing is we start saying what we're experiencing and saying what we have and not having what we say, right? So we start agreeing with the circumstances. And if you read that story, it says that Jesus responded to the tree. So are you responding to your circumstances, and are you responding to your body, or are you just agreeing with your body? You should be responding to it with what the word says. Are you responding to your bank account, or are you reacting to your bank account, right? Are you responding to your paycheck, or are you reacting to your paycheck? So this is so important. We need to hear this, and we need to hear it constantly. One of the messages Brother Jerry was sharing, he shared this story about how Brother Copeland came to his church. It wasn't really his church because he never went, but his wife went all the time. And so she finally, I think the story goes, she finally, you know, nagged him into coming or prayed him into coming or something. And he finally came. It was like the very last service of the camp or the crusade or whatever, the week or whatever it was. And so it changed his life. And I love his story because he, you know, he was a paint and body guy. And I believe that's the kind of people we want to see. You know, when we're preaching, I believe that somebody who came or didn't want to come will be radically changed and become a prophet of God. Amen. 45 years later. I believe that's possible.
Yes, that's right.
So that was a really cool story. He got really angry at Copeland because he was listening to his tapes, and he got really excited because he hadn't heard Faith Message before. And so then he got really super angry because he told him, your problem... Well, let me back up. So he had an opportunity to talk to Brother Copeland somehow, and he's like, I can get all my answers, you know, all questions, all of my answers ever. And so he said, I got this divine healing down, you know, and he did, because, you know, he was sick, a lot, very sick. I don't remember exactly, but he had problems physically anyway, taking a lot of medications and stuff. And he got a hold of the word, and he said, I got this down. I got this divine health down, and it's great, healing, super. But how do you get prosperity? He said, I don't know how to do that. And Brother Copeland said, it's your big, fat mouth, or something like that. It's your mouth. That's your problem. And he didn't like that, and so he got his reel-to-reels. I've never seen a reel-to-reel, so... Yeah, I need to actually probably Google that. Yeah, so he took his reel-to-reel and he threw it down, you know, it's a tape player of some sort, and he threw it down the road, and he was going to go back and get another one and throw it down the road, and God's like, there goes your answer, and he's like, oh, so he rolled it all back up, and there was rocks, you know, Kenneth Copeland had rocks in his mouth, I guess, so he said, the problem is your mouth. And we know that, don't we? We should know that here, right? We know that. Okay. Your problem is your mouth. Can we just say that?
Yeah.
My problem is my mouth. Praise the Lord. So we gotta change what we say. So let's look here. It says, this is specifically talking about receiving the Lord, but this applies to how we do things. Verse 8, but what does it say? The word is near you in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which you preach. So it has to be two places, in your mouth and in your heart. You can't have it in your mouth unless it's in your heart. That's what we're doing right now. We're getting in our heart.
That's right.
That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. That's how these people are getting saved. That's the two requirements. You have to, you know, believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved, and confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus. And then it says in verse 10, for with the heart one believes unto the righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So it's not enough to just believe unto righteousness. We have to start confessing. So I want to talk about the salvation part a little bit, because that's kind of a religious word. But first, let's talk a little bit about righteousness. I got into that earlier. But righteousness, what is righteousness? It is the character or quality of being right or just. So if you say I'm right with God, you know, just in regular, we'd like to be real, huh? We'd like to be real here. If you say I'm right with Dad, it means there's nothing between us. There's nothing wrong. You know? There's no reason for us to avoid each other because we're right.
That's right. Right. Exactly.
Okay? And we need, you know, just a side note, we need to be that way here too. Like if there's something wrong between, you know, one of us, a brother or sister, like, don't avoid each other. Like, get it right.
Get it right. Yeah. Get it right.
And then if you say, I've made peace with my maker, it means God and I, we're good. We're good. That's what righteousness is. We're good. God and I, we're good. And you can only be good through Jesus. So your heart believes and you are made right with God. So your heart believes, you're right. We're good. But I think that most Christians, well, if you're a Christian, if you're a believer, you're saved. But what we have to do is we have to receive salvation. And salvation is, let's talk about it a little bit. Salvation is something you do with your mouth, because it says confession is made unto salvation. So you, that's how we receive, you know, we have to confess Jesus as Lord. So we have to make public confession, Jesus is Lord. So let's talk about the word salvation. It means deliverance and preservation. And the first definition I found actually was it's material and temporal deliverance from danger and apprehension. And then secondly, it was eternal deliverance. So the first definition actually is physical deliverance. And I really like that. And then apprehension, just kind of define that, that pretty much means looking forward with dread. How many of you guys have ever experienced dread? That's not of the Lord. You need to rebuke it because that will just wreck your life. I absolutely do not like dread. Whether it's going to work or to school or taking a test, like whatever. It's like, dread, you get out of here in Jesus' name. Because that's a more intense fear. I mean, it's fear. It's a spirit of fear. We're not being in a spirit of fear. So cast the spirit of dread out. Whatever it is. Whether, you know, I hope it's not, but if it's coming to church, cast it out. Praise the Lord, because God has given us deliverance from apprehension. So we've shared this verse, Proverbs 12:6, and I really like this verse. It says, "But the mouth of the upright will deliver him." So say again, my problem is my mouth. You know what? Yeah, so let's say it. Okay, I know you're faith people, great, but say it. My problem is my mouth. Right, and now you can say, but my mouth is now my greatest blessing. Amen. That's what Paul said. He said, out of your mouth comes, you know, you bless your common man and you curse. You bless your neighbor, you curse your neighbor. You praise God, you curse your neighbor. Isn't that amazing? Out of the same river comes both good and evil. Like, that's, how does that happen? That's why the Holy Spirit has been given to us, so that he's the only one that can bridle the tongue. He's the only one that can bridle the tongue. That's why we need to pray in tongues. I suspect that if you pray in tongues more, you will say a lot fewer stupid things. Praise the Lord. How many of you would like to stop saying as many things as you say that you shouldn't say? Okay. I hate it when I just, you know, say something dumb, you're like, ugh. Okay. Psalm 25:22 says, "Redeem Israel, O God, out of all their troubles." How many of you would like to be delivered out of all your troubles? Amen. Yeah. Let's go to Acts. I will show you a man who was. I didn't even know this was in Acts. We go to Acts chapter 7, verse 9. It says, "And the patriarchs, becoming envious, sold Joseph into Egypt, but God was with him." Say, God is with me. "And delivered him out of all his troubles, and gave him favor and wisdom in the presence of Pharaoh." If you want to study favor, Joseph was a man who experienced uncommon favor. Uncommon favor. Wow. So God delivered him out of all his troubles. So I just want to say there's a connection between you receiving salvation, which is deliverance out of troubles, and what you're saying with your mouth. I bet you, you know, Joseph, it doesn't talk about a lot about what he did. Like, I mean, the things he said, and there's a lot of things that we're not sure of. And some people think he, you know, lived a perfect life or whatever. But he was a man just like us. But I'll bet you his confession was right. I bet he was saying the right things. You know, he was raised by his father Israel, and Israel was a man of the blessing. And Joseph was like his favorite son, so you better believe he was mentored into how to walk in the blessing. And that involves words. Well, let's go to Psalm 34. All right, say after me, I'm a believer. I'm not a doubter. I believe the word of God. This is one of those chapters that if you weren't a believer, you'd be like, what? Okay, let's look at it. It says, I will bless, Psalm 34, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually, let's read it together, huh? I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make its boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear of it and be glad. O magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and delivered me out of all fears. How many fears?
All
fears. If you're entertaining fears in your life, because I've watched people, they entertain them, and they keep them as pets. Okay? You need to cut them loose. If it's a fear of heights, if it's a fear of motorcycles, I'm not saying you should be on a motorcycle. Just don't entertain the fear. Whatever the fear is, it's not supposed to be in your life. Even a fear of getting sick, a fear of whatever. Just don't let, God wants to deliver us out of all our fears, and he won't deliver you if you like it. Okay. I sought the Lord, verse 4, I sought the Lord, and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. They looked to him and were radiant, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried out, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. Praise the Lord. The angel of the Lord encamps all around those who fear him and delivers them. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him. O fear the Lord, you his saints. There is no want to those who fear him. The young lions lack and suffer hunger, but those who seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing. Come, you children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Who is the man who desires life and loves many days that he may see good? Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their cry. The face of the Lord is against those who do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. The righteous cry out, and the Lord hears, and delivers them out of all their troubles. The Lord is near to those who have a broken heart, and saves such as have a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of all, them all. Praise the Lord. That's all. It doesn't say there won't be affliction, but it says the Lord delivers us out of all. Okay, let's continue. He guards all his bones. Not one of them is broken. Evil shall slay the wicked, and those who hate the righteous shall be condemned. The Lord redeems the soul of his servants, and none of those who trust in him shall be condemned. Praise the Lord. That's uncompromising provision. So we need to refresh our thinking to what the Bible actually says, okay? Because I think it's easy to compromise, say, oh, well, maybe I lost this time. Well, no. It says all. He's going to deliver us out of all our troubles, all of our afflictions. Psalm 103 says all of our diseases, all of our iniquities. You're not going to get to heaven and say, oh, this one little iniquity you couldn't forgive, so I guess I got to go to hell. It's like, no. All of our iniquities, right? So God is uncompromising in what he wants to do for you. Praise the Lord. Let's go to Romans 10 real quick again. That's an encouraging chapter there. And you could just camp on that one for a while. Romans 10. You know, God's ability and God's experience is above our experience. And so I think we should look at God and say, God, I haven't experienced a few things, but that doesn't mean you haven't. And guess what? We got a whole book full of people who have experienced what God can do for them. So let's look at their experiential knowledge over our experiential knowledge, and we'll come up to their experiential knowledge level. I was at the Believers Convention, and I was sitting with a couple, great couple, love them. I had this thought come to me. It's like, I don't want to just share stories that preachers share. We share them. I've shared a couple today. But I want to share my stories of how God has healed me, how God has shown me favor, And God's given us stories. Like, here's a bunch of stories right here. Yeah, praise the Lord. So I was like, wow, I want to be the guy sharing stories and not just telling other people's stories. How many of you would like that too? Awesome. So Romans 10:7. Oh, that's the wrong verse. Okay. I got the wrong. You guys know this verse. It's, I don't know the reference at the moment. And when you tell me, it's faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word. Oh, was it 10:17? Oh, okay, I had 10:7. Well, I was like, what? I just read that. Okay, 10:17. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So that's how faith comes. It comes by hearing God's word. So we need to hear God's word, and we need to stay in God's word. And then we need to start speaking it and hearing what we're saying about God's word. Praise the Lord. So salvation is something that comes from your mouth. And you're really responsible for being delivered in whatever area of life you need to be delivered. So your problem is your mouth. So fix the problem. Praise the Lord. Father, we just thank you for your word. We thank you that for your light. Lord, I pray that we wouldn't just be hearers of the word today. We just, oh, that's nice. My mouth's a problem, whatever. And then leave and continue what we're doing. Lord, I just pray that you begin to show us what we should be declaring and confessing. And Lord, I pray that, Lord, we would have an unwavering commitment to guarding our words. Lord, that you would bring us to that commitment, Lord, that we would guard our words and speak the word only in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you for listening to Christ Church International's podcast. We would like to invite you to come join us sometime soon. We meet Sunday mornings at 9:30 a.m. at the Byrne Building, 527 Main Street, Longmont, Colorado. You can find out more about our ministry by going to www.christchurchinternational.org or www.innercourt.com. And our mailing address is P.O. Box 2125, Longmont, Colorado, 80502.